going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're driving across state lines, just to claim another state, we'll be caching in the Northwest. Now, as mentioned at the top of the show, we're doing a little different show tonight. I've got no Land Monkey. He's traveling. I've got no Wits End. He's out and about. And it's just me. So you'll have to put up with it. Now, I hope to have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about multi-caches. We're doing a series of getting started with geocaching. We talked about traditionals and what you can find there. And tonight, we're going to talk about multi-caches. But before we do that, as we always do each and every week, we like to talk about great logs, or the geocaching log of the week. We like to call it the GLOW. Now, this week, I have a log from let me just read the log. It's a good one this time, because we're also talking about DNF Avengers. We'll get to that in just a moment. Today's forecast, geocaching. The weatherman said it would be one of the warmest days of the year thus far. What better excuse? I tossed the bikes into the back of the geomobile and headed out with the second youngest member of the team, 5 years old, to avenge a couple of DNFs and complete the series. We'd been reluctant to try the TPT series again after stumbling across drug paraphernalia at two consecutive caches a month earlier. I returned better prepared and with only one child, and was pleasantly impressed with the excellent state of the caches and the logs. Nothing but great experiences in memory this time. Thank you for the maintenance run, McWillie. Hashtag DNF Avengers. So if you remember, we have a DNF Avengers contest going on right now. We've already given away some prizes. We have more prizes. We have some trackables to give away. So make sure you enter, because the next draw is going to be right after Geo Woodstock. How do you enter? It's really simple. Share your story of an avenged DNF using the hashtag DNF Avengers at cachingnw on Twitter. You can email the story to feedback@cachingnw.com, and we'll reshare that, quite possibly right here on the podcast, in the form of a glow. You never know when that's going to happen. Don't forget, you can tweet your story, and we can link it to it on blogs in different pages, and also post your story on Facebook. And make sure you tag CachingNW in that. Every entry is going to receive a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching.com profile, and some of you may win some fabulous prizes. If your entry is selected by our judges as a winner, it depends on how cold it is. The rules are at landmonkey.blogspot.com and cachingnw.com. So, I wanted to talk about multicaches tonight. Now, a multicache is a different type of geocache than the traditional. With a traditional, you're going to go right to the coordinates posted on the webpage or in your app, and you're going to look for a container, you're going to sign the log, you're going to put it back, and you're going to move on. With multi-caches, there's a little twist. Official explanation of multi-caches from geocaching.com says these geocaches involve two or more locations, with the final location being a physical container with a logbook inside. There are many variants, but typically, once you're at the first stage, you will receive a clue to the whereabouts of the second stage. The second stage may have a clue for the third, and so on and so forth. Well, the biggest difference between multi-caches and traditional are stages, right? So you're going to go and find the cache at, or you're going to go find stage one at the posted coordinates. When you're there, you're going to find a container. You're going to find something with the next set of coordinates on it. Maybe a partial set of coordinates that you're going to have to apply to an existing formula. that'll be on the webpage in the description. You want to look at that. And you need to figure out the next stage. It could be two, it could be three. There are some that are very long. It could be two or three. And then you'll come across the final or the final stage with a logbook in it, sign it, and then you can log it officially on geocaching.com. Now, often there's a slight confusion between multi-caches and field puzzles, right? So a field puzzle is a type of geocache that is has a question mark on it, a mystery cache, some say, or a puzzle cache, but it's meant to do out in the field, right? There's no research you can do ahead of time. You're going to ask to go to a plaque and perhaps get some information off of that, or you're going to get information to complete the puzzle, to complete the missing pieces of the final coordinates at the location of the cache or the waypoint. Multi-caches don't work that way. You're going to get information at the first waypoint to go to the second, to go to the third. There's not going to be anything you're going to have to necessarily solve. So when you're looking at a map at geocaching.com, you go to the map, you look there, you're going to see all the green location pins. Those are traditionals. The multis are yellow. They're a little different, maybe an orange, depends on the colors of your monitor. But that's how you're going to spot a multi on the map, just as simply a different color pin on the map. Now, I said earlier that multis have to have at least two stages, right? The first one you go to at the posted coordinates on the geocache listing, and a second stage or final stage. That doesn't mean there just has to be two. There can be multi. There are multiple stages. There can be two, three, four. There could be 15 or 20, depending on, well, shall we say, the cruelty of the hider or the creativity of the hider, however you want to look at it, depending on how far you're going to find these multi-caches, right? You may ask, how do you know if you've got the right coordinates? Sometimes there's a geo-checker involved. That'll be on the description. Sometimes there's a checksum, and it says, oh, if you've got the right coordinates, add up these numbers to this total. That's the checksum that's going to work well, and it lets you know, hey, I really got the right one. But most of the time, you're going to have to journey to those coordinates. Look for a container or a tag or, you know, something at that location that's going to lead you to the next step. Really, that is the main way of finding if you've got the correct coordinates for the multicache is to actually go find the next stage. Now, there are some stages, there are some types of multi-caches, I should say, that have physical stages that I'm talking about. There are some that have virtual stages, right? The virtual stage, there isn't actually anything there. You can go there, you can get information off a plaque, right? There's nothing hidden to find. It's a virtual stage. You can go get information off a plaque or some creative element that is at that location. Get your information, plug it into your GPSR and move on. The beauty of the virtual stages is there's no minimum distance between them. With the physical stages, there is a minimum distance between them of, well, a tenth of a mile, 528 feet. I'm looking at the chat because Line Monkey says I can't keep up with the chat tonight. I can. I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing to stay focused, Line Monkey, and keep going with the podcast. Thank you very much. So physical stages are a set distance apart, a minimum set distance apart. Virtual stages can be any distance apart. They could be a mile. They could be 5 feet. It depends on, like I say, the creativity of the hider. So I've a little bit here. Does anybody in the chat have any hints, any tips, any creative ideas on placing a multi-cache? Or perhaps tell me of some multi-caches that you have found that you go, wow, this is really how a multi-cache should be. I have found, several multi-caches. And I remember one with my daughter. And it was a multi-cache really based or created for children. So it was a lot of fun. It was in a park area. And, you know, you went from spot to spot to spot. And that was a very creative, a very creative theme. It was a pirate theme. And they went all out on this. In fact, the final stage, you had to peer through a telescope mounted on some play equipment. So it was, you know, pretend telescope, but you lined it up and it showed you the location for the final, which I thought was incredibly creative. It was one of my favorites. Team Finn says one of the tips he has for helping him to find multi-caches is to take pictures of everything in the surrounding area. You never know what could make a good virtual stage. That's right. And when you go to a virtual stage or a physical stage, you know, it's a good idea to take a picture of the coordinates of the information that you've gathered, because you can forget. You could have accidentally inverted some numbers into your GPSR and you're going the wrong way. And soon you realize, well, this is out in the middle of the street. This isn't right. You can go back to your phone. Hopefully not in the middle of the street. Go back to the sidewalk. Go to your phone, look at it, and go, oh, I got it wrong. Here, let me put in the right information, and off you go. Team Finn just put a link in the chat there of an amazing multi. Which one is this? Oh, Control the Night. That is an amazing multi by Team Noltex. That one is fascinating. I had forgotten that was a multi. Thank you very much, Team Finn. I appreciate that. That one used remote controls to trigger lights to let you know that it gave you the, did it give you the coordinates for the next stage? Or give you directions to the next stage, but you needed a remote control to, any remote control would do. It was using infrared. Yes. It was using infrared receiver to light a light in a tree. It was fantastic. You needed to do it at night. The final actually used a laser pointer to point exactly to the final. And it was really well done. So yes, it did give you coordinates of where to go. But you needed that to move on to the next one. Thank you guys in the chat. I appreciate your help tonight. You guys are always good each and every night. But tonight, with it's just me, the show's going to be a little shorter because, well, I don't have anyone to talk to except to you. And, you know, it's just a little different format. So I appreciate you guys. Pardon me. Okay. So multi-caches, talked about them, multiple steps. At the end, you're still going to find that traditional like container with a logbook in it. It has to have a logbook and you have to be able to sign it. Land Monkey points out that a maintaining a multi can often be more work than a traditional, but a well-maintained multis are very enjoyable. A multi-cache typically takes you longer to find than a traditional cache, right? So if you're just out and about and you think, oh, I'm just going to pop over and see if I can find a cache. A multi-cache may not be what you want to do. You may want to plan to have some extra time for a multi-cache because, like I say, if it's multiple stages and distance in between, it can take you some time to complete one. Makes me think of a multi-cache in Lakewood, Washington, near Tacoma there, where you had to go to multiple historic sites in the town to get information to go find the final. And, you know, that was a lot of driving. That one took me a couple of days. I didn't have the time to complete it all in one day. And, you know, so that was one of those things that, yeah, you can go knock off a stage or two during the day, but you know, while you're out running errands, but you really needed to dedicate the most part of an afternoon to complete this. Multi-night caches are also great fun, says Trexer in the chat. Thanks, Trexer, for that one. I do love night caches, especially multi-caches. There are some with blinking lights, some with LED displays that'll lead you to the next point. You know, those take a lot of work to keep maintained, to keep up and running. But most people find those very enjoyable, and you'll get the favorite points for keeping up a cache like that. So, yeah, Landmonk or Bryling, you're not being helpful. He says, it gives me an idea for a 42-stage multi-cache. All the stages are micros and cedar trees near Land Monkey headquarters. That's just cruel. That's just cruel. Oh, folks, it's been a long day. You know, I'm 3 hours off of my normal time zone. So it's midnight, just past midnight here, local time. I appreciate all your information in the chat. If you want to know anything more about multicaches, send some email into us, feedback@cachingnw.com. We'll help you out there. If you've got a great log from a multicache that you've done, make sure you send in that glow. Same email address, feedback@cachingnw.com. You know what's even better? Is if you call in to 253-693-TFTC and read that glow in your own voice. Because you hear our voice each and every week, but it's a real treat for us to hear you talk about your glow or geocaching log of the week in your voice. Oh, let's see. Well, folks, I'm getting a lot of chat here about actually getting some sleep. That's fine. I'm going to be okay. That's what caffeine is for. Sleep is overrated. I can stay up for hours and days, and no, I can stay up for a few minutes at a time. I'm old. I nap all the time. But I want to thank you, listeners, for checking out this episode of Caching in the Northwest, and we hope you enjoyed it. Now, next week, that's May 31st, we're going to talk about top cache tips for Tacoma, Washington. You know, that's episode 253. That's the same area code, or the same numbers as the area code in Tacoma. Yeah, we worked on that one. June 7th. We are doing Hidden Creatures with Audrey from Geocaching HQ. Hidden Creatures is the new geocaching challenge for this summer. We don't know much about it. We know it's coming, and we're kind of excited to find out what it is. June 14th, we're going to do the Spokane Geocoin Challenge with Lookout Lisa and Kid Vegas 19, and they are doing yet another Spokane Geocoin Challenge. This is 4 or 5 years in a row, and they all have been spectacular. The coins are something to behold. You really need to look at these coins from the older Spokane Geocoin Challenge. Each year, they come up with a brand new theme, and it's amazing. They do such a good job. June 21st, we are going to talk about the Sidetracked Cache series with Subway Mark. You're not going to want to miss that one. So, as every week, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click on that Patreon link over there at CachingNW.com. But we want to mention each and every one of our supporters. And those are BPendragon, Broncos Fans for Life, Sprouter Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Keb MacD, Subway, Mark Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, G Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, and Curiosity Girl. Thanks each and every one of you for keeping the show going. We really appreciate you. Now, until next week, if you're looking for, well, say me on the webs, look at Twitter. In fact, I did some Periscopes today, so you're going to want to jump onto that Twitter, CachingNW. You can go to facebook.com/CachingNW or head on over to CachingNW.com/hosts, and you can find the links in the bios for not only me, Chris of the Northwest, but also for Wits End and for Land Monkey. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or design us a multi-cache any time of the day or night. Of course, you can always email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, please click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website, and you can subscribe on app, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. This show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J. and Jim Paulwitz. The show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attributions 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. Now, we're going to ask you to stay tuned for The After Show. The After Show is a time where I get to chat just one-on-one with you guys who are live with us during the recording. If you want to have something mentioned in the after show, use the hashtag FTAS, F-T-A-S, that's for the after show. And I'll do my best to dig through this and come up with all the FTASes in the show notes. One of the interesting things we like to do in the FTAS is keep up with Cameron from Team Finn. He's very nice to share his grades with us. He says that in the last school update, he scored a 94 on his most recent essay. It's decent, but not his best. Well, Cameron, I think you're doing quite well. And you've got a project going on, so you should probably be getting off the podcast and getting to work. I'm just saying. Alpine says, well done. 94% is an A+. Oh, or just an A. Who knows? Team Finn also puts on a monthly event. They have a streak going of, oh boy, I knew this before I got on the show. I know they're over 12, 15, 18 months. The next event is June 1st at Top Pot Donuts in Renton. And sorry, I don't see the GC number. If you pop out the GC number, I'll read it here in a little bit. Alpine's GC is leaving early for a run to Fraser Canyon one day to attempt earning the Gold Country Geocoin. We'll be spending our C&W prize. Oh, yeah, that's right. You won the Gold Country prize. How very nice. Yes, I am at GigaStock, as it's called, or Geo Woodstock 2018, the Giga event in Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's see, can you see the shirt here? I'm wearing the official Geo Woodstock shirt here. There you go. And pick that up today at early registration. So, yeah, lots of fun. We've hit the donut trail. Daryl W4, Renee W25, and I hit the donut trail yesterday. Got all, I don't know how many caches there are there. 16, 18 caches and equivalent number of donut shops, and got the Donut Trail Geo coin and the Donut Trail t-shirt. So that's a lot of fun. Today we worked on the Earth Cache Geo Tour, and well, we tried to fit two of them together, the Earth Cache Geo Tour and the Great Parks Geo Tour, and it just didn't work out like we'd hoped. So we only got halfway through the Earth Cache one and only a couple of the Great Parks. In fact, we got a little sidetracked and we ended up doing the kids version of the Great Parks Geo Tour, five caches in one park. That's all we could complete was the children's level geocaching for the day. So these things happen. Team Finn's event at Top Pot in Renton is GC7PVBW. So there you go. Team Finn says, do you know there's the Dolphin Guarded Military Base in Washington? It's the largest storage place of nuclear weapons. Interesting. You know, I know they used dolphins in World War II. They trained them to carry sea mines or underwater mines on their back and magnetic mines and apply those to ships. And the dolphins would return. It wasn't a suicide or a kamikaze mission. But they would drop them, attach them to the enemy ships in return, and then be detonated. The mines would be detonated later. I don't think they ever detonated the dolphins. Oh, let's see. Keats 94 is in Banff. Oh, it's a very nice location. Now, I assume I've only been up there in the winter. I assume during the summer it's just as nice, if not more so. I would think there'd be some great wildflowers in the alpine meadows there. Well, folks, thanks again for staying with us tonight. I'm going to end this one. It's a little short, but you know what? Sometimes you get a shorter episode. That's what you get with live podcast each and every week. So until next week, folks, get out and get caching in the Northwest.